Dina Matos and Jim McGreevy seemed like a match made in political heaven.
Jim McGreevy was New Jersey's knight in shining armor, and Dina McGreevy was the perfect first lady.
I thought, you know, this was our opportunity to change the world.
But politics makes for strange bedfellows.
He was someone who was leading a double life.
When secrets become scandals.
It was wrong. It was foolish. It was inexcusable.
And ethics are called into question.
It's one of those moments that you never forget.
In the meantime, I'm just sitting there in shock.
My resignation will be effective on November 15th of this year.
When it comes to love and marriage, things aren't always as they seem. They say that politics is the art of the possible, an adage Dina Matos took to heart from a young age.
I thought, you know, very early on that if you become an activist, if you become involved, that you can affect change.
In the fall of 1995, 29-year-old Dina was trying to follow through on her dreams, working in PR for a local hospital and making herself known in political circles. So when she met Jim McGreevy, the handsome and newly single mayor of Woodbridge, New Jersey, no one was surprised that a mutual interest sparked.
I thought he was very charismatic, certainly energetic, and had this way about him that attracted people to him.
They were ambitious, both of them, smart, both of them. They got along very well.
Definitely think that immediately there was some sort of chemistry between us.
Dina quickly found herself entranced by the dashing politician.
He was talking about the hospital where I worked. He offered, you know, assistance if I ever needed anything. I felt as if I had known him forever.
But there was reason to proceed with caution. Jim's personal life was in turmoil.
Shortly after I met Jim, I had heard that his wife had left him abruptly. They had a small child, and she just took off and went back to her native British Columbia. I felt really bad for him.
Over the next year, Dina continued to see Jim at political functions around town. Then, one day, an aide from his office called to schedule a one-on-one dinner.
The 4 or 5 hours we spent together seemed like 2 hours. We were very comfortable with each other. And so I guess that was our first date.
Before long, Jim and Dina were dating exclusively. But the romance was far from typical. By 1997, Jim had decided to run for governor of New Jersey.
It was like I was on the campaign trail from day one. So our dates consisted of picnics and rallies and, dinners, sometimes 2 and 3 dinners in one night.
She said to me, you know, he's like Abraham Lincoln. He's everything I've ever imagined.
As election day approached, it actually looked like Jim could pull off an upset. But in the end, he lost by less than 1% of the vote. After campaigning tirelessly by Jim's side, Dina was devastated. But she dusted herself off and stood by her man, who was already planning his next run for the governor's mansion.
Dina and Jim were a good team. They really were. When you saw the president or someone like that take over a room, that's what they did. They complemented each other pretty well that way.
Jim seemed to think so too. And in January of 2000, he slipped an engagement ring on Dina's finger. 8 months later, the couple tied the knot in a Washington, D.C. wedding.
It was at the Hay Adams, and it has a rooftop terrace that overlooks the White House.
Dina was glowing. Talk about a glowing bride, she was glowing. I don't think I've ever seen Dina that happy.
Everyone that we wanted there was there, and it was just my dream wedding.
Just 6 months later, Dina learned she was pregnant. It seemed the young couple was on the fast track to having it all. But Dina could never have guessed how drastically the tides would turn in just 4 short years. On August 9th, 2004, Dina was running errands after work when she got a call from her husband.
Jim asked what time I was going to be home. And this was uncharacteristic for him because it was early in the day and he was always out late. I felt a knot in my stomach. I'm like, something's not right here.
Dina immediately raced home. And when she arrived, she was certain things were horribly wrong.
So Jim and I both sat on the couch in the living room, and he said, this is very difficult for me. I want to let you know that I'm being blackmailed.
The news was terrible, but what Jim McGreevy said next was like a knife in Dina's back.
I had an anxiety attack, and I thought, this is the end of my life.
I took one look at Dina, and I said, oh my God, this cannot be good. I did not recognize her.
In the fall of 2001, 3 years before the conversation that would change her life, Dina Matos was on top of the world. All signs suggested that her husband, Jim McGreevy, would be New Jersey's next governor.
He was running for governor, and she was at his side, and you would see her on the news on TV. Not Dina, my sister, but Dina, the proposed first lady of New Jersey.
It was the happiest time of my life.
But on November 3rd, the day of Jim's last big rally before the election, Dina realized something was wrong. Only 7 months pregnant, she'd started bleeding. So instead of going to the rally, she rushed to the hospital.
As soon as I got there, they started hooking me up to everything, put me in a hospital bed, put me in a gown, and I'm thinking, okay, this is not a good thing.
Dina was in premature labor, so Jim immediately suspended his campaign and rushed to her side.
The hospital became, campaign headquarters for a while.
The doctors insisted she remain on bed rest. Meanwhile, on November 7th, Jim McGreevy won the election by a landslide. Dina watched the coverage from her hospital bed.
More than anyone, she sacrificed and worked hard. More than anyone, Dina, I love you.
It was a wow moment. I was like, oh my God, my sister's the first lady. Do I still treat her like Dina? Oh, get out of my way? Or is it Dina, the first lady? How are you?
On December 7th, Dina and Jim welcomed their daughter into the world. New Jersey's new first family was off to a great start.
I thought, we're going to, change the state, and we're going to do everything that we promised people we would do.
For Jim, the first order of business was to staff up his new administration, and he seemed to have some interesting prospects. One in particular was a young Israeli man who had worked on Jim's campaign. His name was Golan Sapel. In January 2002, Jim McGreevy named Sapel his national security advisor, a move that raised some eyebrows.
While Golan Sapel had lots of public relations experience, it wasn't really clear what his experience was in Homeland Security. One of the things that people had concerns about is the fact that he wasn't an American. And so therefore, it would be difficult for him to get the proper security clearances. And they also, people wondered, why would you make a political appointment to such an important post right after 9/11?
Back in the governor's mansion, Dina wasn't dwelling on her husband's staffing choices. There were other things occupying her mind, things that seemed threatening to her marriage. By 2002, Dina noticed that Jim had a troubling, secretive side, especially when it came to his ex-wife and their young daughter.
I always wanted to have a relationship with Jim's daughter. I often asked him to have her come and spend holidays with us, and he always said no, because her mother would have to come, it would complicate things.
Even more upsetting, when Jim's ex-wife called, Dina noticed he would take the call as far away from her as possible.
We rarely argued, but when we did argue, it was about something with his ex-wife. I had suspicions that there was possibly something going on.
At the same time, Jim seemed to be going to great lengths to keep Dina from seeing his schedule.
I think Jim was definitely hiding the schedule from me, so I didn't know where he was or where he was supposed to be.
Dina couldn't help but wonder if Jim and his ex had secretly rekindled their romance. And just 2 months later, it seemed her suspicions were spot on.
One day out of the blue, Jim says to me, well, my ex-wife and daughter are coming next week for a visit. And I was just shocked. All of a sudden, he had made the decision without telling me.
The news was stunning enough, but the visit was even worse.
Jim's behavior was very odd and bizarre. He had planned the entire trip without my knowledge. She was also wearing her wedding ring, which I thought was very bizarre.
Dina thought maybe he was regretting breaking up with his first wife. That he thought, oh, if I had just handled things differently with my first wife, perhaps I'd still be in that relationship.
Dina couldn't help but think the man she loved was hiding something.
Obviously, there's something going on.
But never in a million years could she have guessed what his secret really was.
I was just completely incredulous. I couldn't believe it.
I was just in a complete state of shock.
By the summer of 2004, 2 years into her husband's governorship, Dina Matos McGreevy had hit her stride as New Jersey's first lady.
I really enjoyed having the ability to get involved in causes that were important to me.
But being married to the governor was no cakewalk. So one evening that July, when Jim asked Dina what she would think if he didn't run for a second term, she couldn't help but feel relieved.
Jim said it was because it was not what he had expected. People were fighting, and there were also a number of scandals involving some of his staffers. I didn't want him to give up, but on the other hand, I thought, this is our opportunity to finally have our own life out of the public eye.
But Dina didn't know there was much more to the story. The evening of August 9th, Dina was running errands after work when Jim called and asked her to come home right away.
When I arrived at home, he was already home, which was early for him. I thought, okay, he's going to finally admit that there's something going on with his ex-wife.
But Dina was about to find out her husband was struggling with something else entirely.
He proceeded to tell me that he was being blackmailed, and I asked by whom, and he said by Gull and Sipple. And he wants $50 million.
Jim claimed Gull and Sipple was threatening him with a sexual harassment lawsuit. The $50 million would buy Sipple's silence.
And I asked why, and he said, well, we had a relationship. It was sexual, but not sexual. And I just started crying. That was a complete shock. If I suspected anything, it was that he was having an affair with his ex-wife, not anyone else, and certainly not another man.
Dina was devastated, but rather than console his wife, Jim got right down to business.
Immediately, his conversation turned to, how am I going to resolve this? This guy wants $50 million. Where am I going to get the money from? Jim was oblivious to my feelings.
The next morning, Dina tried to make sense of her marriage and her life.
I still wasn't questioning whether he was gay or not. The first question was, what's going to happen to us? You know, what's our daughter's life going to be like after this?
Dina knew Jim didn't have the answers, so she called her family and shared the news.
Hey, how are you?
I was shocked. Just my heart went out to her. And she was just a mess. And I just tried to comfort her, but how do you comfort somebody in that situation? What do you tell him? What do you tell him?
By August 11th, 2 days after his confession to Dina, Jim and his advisors had decided the best plan of attack was to hold a press conference.
He thought by going public with this, he could take away any threat of blackmail and potentially any lawsuit. That's the reason that the governor gave.
The night before the press conference, Jim and Dina sat at the kitchen table and had one final eye-opening conversation.
He said he was confused about who he was, about his sexuality, and that he thought he might be gay.
But for Dina, this wasn't about whether her husband was gay. This was about betrayal.
So I asked him why he married me. And he said that he loved me and he wanted us to build a life together. And that was, you know, another blow. How can he be telling me that he loved me when, you know, he had done all these other things? Did he love me ever? And why did he marry me?
It seemed like things couldn't possibly get any worse.
It felt like this was not the man that I married. This was an imposter.
But there was more to Jim's story. And the next morning, Dina would get the shock of her life.
I flipped the TV on. It was scary how she looked.
It felt like an out-of-body experience for me.
My resignation will be effective on November 15th of this year.
On August 12, 2004, Dina Matos was reeling. Her husband, New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy, was about to give a press conference admitting to an affair with a male staffer.
Here I am thinking that the press conference is going to be about him not seeking another term, and that was it.
But Dina was about to get another unwelcome surprise.
He had been in meetings with his advisors all day on the first floor of the governor's mansion. And he came up with one of his advisors and handed me a copy of his speech. And I started reading it, and I read the phrase, "I am a gay American." And I just couldn't believe what I was reading, because he had not admitted to being gay. I thought, how did he resolve that issue overnight? He was confused, and now all of a sudden, he knows that he's a gay American.
There were points in my life when I began to question what an acceptable reality really meant for me.
That afternoon, the world watched in shock as Jim McGreevy delivered his speech, his blindsided wife by his side.
And so my truth is that I am a gay American. My resignation will be effective on November 15th of this year.
I flipped the TV on and I took one look at Dina. I did not recognize her. It was scary how she looked.
He's at the podium speaking and I'm standing next to him with some sort of smile plastered on my face. And it felt like an out-of-body experience for me.
I engaged in an adult consensual affair with another man, which violates my bonds of matrimony. It was wrong, it was foolish, it was inexcusable.
It was just heartbreaking, and I thought she was so brave to be standing there with him, and half of me thought she was so stupid to be standing there with him. Dina said to me later when we talked about it, she was sort of determined to take the high road because she didn't want her daughter to look back one day and say, "You weren't there for Dad in his hour of need."
And for this, I ask the forgiveness and the grace of my wife.
I think it's fair to say that people were very concerned for her. Would the marriage last? What if they had a child? How would this all play out?
I know now he had married me for political gain, and that was just devastating.
In November 2004, Dina and her daughter left the governor's mansion and moved into their own home in the New Jersey suburbs. More than 2 years later, Dina and Jim began divorce proceedings.
The fact that all this was going on in the public eye was extremely hard. Because when things happen to families and it's quiet, you deal with it differently. When it's in the public eye and people are questioning you, and people are not just questioning, they're making assumptions and they're talking about you, that's the hard part.
In August 2008, the couple's divorce was finalized. As for Golan Sepel, he returned to his native Israel without filing a lawsuit. The The claims of blackmail have never been substantiated. Today, Dina lives in a small New Jersey town with her young daughter, and she works for a healthcare nonprofit.
I still have my difficult days, and it hasn't been an easy road, but I know that I can stand on my own and confront whatever comes my way.
Dina also wrote a bestseller about her marriage to Jim McGreevy.
I think that by telling my story, that I can give other people courage to move on.
Dina is back, and she's self-assured. If anything, I think maybe she's a little more worried about jumping back into the dating life because she thought Jim McGreevy was the one.
These days, Dina has very little interaction with Jim, who left politics behind to become an Episcopal priest. Still, despite everything, she hasn't given up on the prospect of a new marriage.
Marriage is very important. I think it could be very positive, and it's could be very rewarding. And who knows, maybe I'll experience it sometime.